This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. Just rolling along today, doing Auto Talk Radio this morning. The garden guys were amazing. I have to apologize to the folks that can't hear us. I hear that our internet feed is down, so hopefully they get it back up here shortly during the show so you can all hear. Otherwise, you're going to have to hop on your regular radio. So,
what are we, cavemen?
I don't even know if anybody has a radio. Apparently, some people do. You can listen in your car. Go get in your car.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Give us a call here if you have anything automotive related to speak about. We're happy to do so. Like I said, sorry that the internet feed's down, but Brendan's over there feverishly working to fix it, right?
Something like that. It's feverishly texting other people to fix the problem.
Yeah. Hey, we have a problem. You're over there flipping the switches and turning the dials. Is there a switch or dial you accidentally turned off?
As far as I know, no. Well, okay. There was a weird thing where we have another button that was light up on the board, but that's only used for like testing how the audio sounds before you put them on the air officially. And so I turned that off. But as far as everything else, you know, no. And that should not affect at all our streaming. So
interesting. Yeah. Okay. Well, hopefully the streaming pops back up so everybody can hear us eventually. So I don't know. If not, run out and get your car, like I said. But then again, if you listen to streaming, you can't hear me tell you to do that. So therefore, I don't know what to say about it.
And also, you're not telling me to run out to my car, right?
No.
Okay, just double check.
Somebody's got to flip the switches and turn the dials over there. So anyway. All right, folks, give us a call here. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're talking about anything automotive related. Today, we're going to also talk about in between here problems that cars can diagnose themselves. Or not. So it is possible that a car could diagnose some of its own problems, but we'll see. We can talk about it and stuff like that. But actually, most of the stuff on the car, no. But it's interesting stuff. It's actually a lot harder to find multiple things that a car can diagnose itself than you think. So I went down this list. We are firmly in the 21st century. A better question might be, what problems can a car diagnose for itself? Because there's a lot of those. We don't have. Remember the car kit for what was that show? It was like
Dark Rider, right?
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
David Hasselhoff.
Well, yeah, exactly. I remember that that car was like a rolling computer, supposedly, and it could talk. Does your car talk to you?
It has that Siri function where, you know, if I say, hey, Siri in the car and stuff, sorry for those who are listening in the car and I said, hey, Siri, and it popped up, it'll do that and it'll actually connect me with the internet and stuff and say like, oh, what did you want to look up and blah, blah, blah.
So you think
sort of, but not as cool as Knight Rider in any sense of the word.
No. Yeah. Knight Rider would talk to you when you're standing outside the car too.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's right.
It would talk to you all the time. Well, talk to him all the time, not me.
Siri only wants to talk to me in the car. That's it.
Well, so do you think when you say, hey, Siri, like that, people listening in the car says yes?
Some of them. Definitely mine, when I'm in the car, they'll be like, what? What do you want? Stop talking.
But somebody on the radio said, hey, Siri, then the car would start talking.
Oh, no, that hasn't happened yet. I've been lucky on that one.
I was curious.
Same thing on some other, on the Echo Dots where you say, hey, Alexa, you know, It doesn't, it never, my Alexa doesn't do that. But when I accidentally say, oh, I just, we just drove a Lexus, and then all of a sudden it pops up, what do you want? And I'm like, oh, I said Lexus, not whatever.
Whatever. She doesn't listen as well as you think.
That's right.
So anyway, if a car knows so dang much, it should be like Kit, right?
I would expect so.
Our cars actually are robot overlords.
No, not yet. There's no such thing as that. People do that talk all the time, and there's no such thing as that. We program it enough so it doesn't over-program us, is what I believe.
Yeah,
so.
I saw a funny thing talking about cars and technology now. It showed a Chevy pickup truck, a new 2500. But they were talking about it being an EV, and they added like 12 inches to the hood height. And it's like, it said, with all that extra battery room, we should have about 2,000 miles. But the windshield, to see out the windshield, was only like 6 inches that you could see above it.
That's it.
So where are you going? Well, you know, they could just like line the bed with batteries. Then it wouldn't be a pickup truck anymore, though. You wouldn't be able to haul nothing but the batteries for it, right?
Yeah. And also, you got to make sure you really waterproof that battery because, you know, it could, any water damage into that battery, it's going to be one expensive fix.
Well, and if you've been noticing, they were talking about, there was a big article that I read, Tesla's catching on fire, the ones that had been down in Florida through the hurricanes and that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's procedures. So with those cars, when they get towed in, they're in an accident. They park them in an open lot where they keep cars like two car lengths between each car because they've been known to just burst into flames while sitting there. All of a sudden, they short out and burst into flames. So they seem to be having that problem with them now from water damage. So do you saw that also?
Yeah, I did see that story as well. A lot of destruction over there in Florida, basically.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah, for sure. But no, I did read that same story. So again, it just goes to show you that, you know, I don't believe in Tesla totally in terms of their technology and stuff. But that's any battery, to be fair, I guess.
Well, let's be fair. That car was not made to be submerged underwater.
Correct. Yes.
There's no place when they sold it, they said it's a boat. So, nor that you can leave it outside and let the water come up over the roof.
There was only that one German car that can go into the water. But I heard that the motor was just so weak anyways.
The duck.
Yeah.
That whatever it's called, duck something, yeah. I forget.
It was not even worth it.
It's not a good looking car either, to be honest with you.
I thought, you know, it's just a novelty car, to be honest.
It is.
Yeah. I never expected it to have great sales or even do well in the market, even when I first heard of it when I was little. So, you know, just for the novelty, that's the only reason why you would have it, you know. Honest, is it a collector car? Because I don't think it really, is it a collector?
Well, I would, if I had to guess, I would presume that there wasn't a whole lot of them made.
Okay, that's the only reason.
I if you had one and it was restored, you know, in good condition, perfect condition, I'd presume it's probably worth something to somebody.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy it.
No, me neither.
I don't want it, that's for sure, but I'm sure it's worth something to somebody. Yeah. You know, people collect all kinds of things. And you know, what makes something collectible when it's a car is it rare, and the condition it's in is what makes it collectible and what it's worth, you know? So just one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting for sure. Without question. So, good stuff. Today we're talking about, you know, cars and the items they can diagnose. Obviously cars and technology wise have come a long way. But technology-wise, you cannot take your EV and drive it as a submarine. It does not work out well. So we know that so far. So there's one thing a car can't do as far as an EV. Cars today are surrounded by sensors, though. They're in the engine, the tires, the reservoirs, the windshield, the electrical system, the seat, your brain. Wait, no, not your brain. Probably all these sensors and the systems that keep track of them are known as OBD, onboard diagnostics. Well, those systems aren't really, but the diagnostics for it is. Vehicles have become extremely smart, though. There's no question about it. And they are very helpful in their own diagnosis. No question about that also. These vehicles keep track of their own health, and a problem often comes when they try to communicate their information with the driver like a cranky baby, no matter what is wrong. cars will turn on the check engine light. And we have multiple check engine lights on a vehicle now, not just check engine lights, like ABS, traction control, all different kinds of lights that come on if a fault is picked up in the system. I will tell you this. Over the 80s and 90s and in the early 2000s, cars are definitely way more technologically advanced, without question, and way supply a lot more information. Do they those problems tend to diagnose themselves? No. They do give you an area, though, and they do communicate a lot better than they used to. I remember in the 80s, and we'd on every technician had a little two-prong jumper on their keychain, because you'd stick it in the ADLD, which is the diagnostic connector back then, like for GM, and it would flash out the codes of any system that had an issue while the check engine light was on. We didn't have scanners then.
So why did they switch it then to scanner? Because scanners were a little bit more accurate? Or
well, now we can interact with the car.
Gotcha.
I mean, not only can we do that, we can watch live data.
Mm-hmm.
And oh yeah, I mean, back then it was just a flat, yeah, flashes of a light gave you a code, and then you had to start taking your usually had a fluke, if you were any good, a fluke meter.
Okay.
And you would go start testing circuits and things, or stuff in that circuit, to figure out what had failed.
Gotcha. Okay. So definitely made it easier now.
Cars were way rudimentary, kind of like a like the bubble green bubbled screen computers that first came out.
You know? Oh, don't get me started.
The whole DOS system.
And then I can't even imagine flat screen TV. Like, flat screen TVs are nice. I can't imagine those big bulky ones anymore. Yeah,
exactly. But just think about this. When you had a computer with DOS on it, it seldom crashed.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Windows and all that stuff that just crashes all the time.
Right, so right.
Now I'm probably going to get a stop letter from Windows talking bad about their product. But, you know.
Cease and desist.
Yeah. I remember because the first service writing program we had back in 1993, 94 was it was all DOS. But I'll tell you what, it was rock hard solid. But we can do a lot more with the programs now, obviously, and there's a lot more technology, just like with cars. So as far as that goes, definitely a lot better things we have going. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take our first break here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 FM. We'll be right back after these messages that talk more about cars.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, thanks for joining me this morning. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we're happy to chat with you about this morning. Everybody's moving a little slow. We're talking about things that cars can and can't diagnose. I do want to remind folks that Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STAR certified. Taking care of folks in North County now for almost 30 years. And West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved, taking care of folks out there in East County now for 10 years in that area. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right in central San Diego over there. AAA approved and smog certified, taking care of folks over there for coming up on 5 years. Actually heading up into 6 years. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall, AAA approved, STAR certified for smog, taking care of folks right there in the Golden Triangle now for 4 years. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, my employees, come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio, as of all of our employees and myself truly believe in the same philosophy, which is we never put money ahead of people. Stop in to have your vehicle service repair and find out what quality automotive service repair is all about. The West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs. On approved credit, of course. But great card to have. You can use it over and over again. Every time you use it, it's 6 months no interest. So basically, you can save yourself the trouble of paying right up front. Save yourself a bunch of interest also, and gives you 6 months to pay it off. What a great thing to do, especially when you end up with those car repairs that are unexpected. You know, it does help on the budget there for sure. Times are a little tough out there these days, so it's one of the ways you can alleviate some of the pain for sure. There to help with that. You can just ask one of my managers, service advisors, get in, take advantage of our diagnosis of vehicles. Get your vehicle diagnosed properly, or Certicare transmission diagnosis also, where we actually will diagnose the vehicle for you, get it figured out. The best money ever spent is on a diagnosis by a qualified technician, because I tell you what, it'll save you a lot of money in the long run. We also offer free shuttle rides to or from work or home, and each location has rental vehicles available at right there near us. So if you need to get a rental car for the day, we can help you out with that. We work closely with them to try to keep the cost down on that for sure. You can jump on westautomotivegroup.com and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Once again, that's westautomotivegroup.com. And you can give us a follow, and we send out tips and all kinds of automotive cool little things, you know, throughout the week here and there. So if you're following us, you just get those cool little tips. Nothing bad about car stuff. That way it helps you keep your car in your forefront of mind, making sure it stays serviced and repaired and doing the right thing. And then also just some cool little things, like I said. So at westautomotivegroup.com. You can also see Automan segments there. You can click on our YouTube channel right from westautomotivegroup.com or the Auto Talk Radio page, and we post all of our podcast there after we're done, obviously live, and you can get them there. You can actually download them there, or you can go to grab the podcast from Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and TuneIn. All available there. Just go to any of those and put in the answer San Diego 1170 weekend, and you will find our shows there. They're available for download. Give us a call now at 1-888-344-1170, though. That's 888-344-1170. Otherwise, go to westautomotivegroup.com and check us out. But this morning, we are talking about different things with cars and stuff, as always. So we're talking about lights that come on in the vehicle to tell you when there's a problem. Diagnostic trouble codes are common with vehicles. Car's computer spits out a code that can only be deciphered by a reader. Well, we were talking about in the old days, it used to flash out the code, but correct. It is decided by the information we get when you plug into a vehicle is bidirectional. Also, we can actually now command some things on the vehicle when testing them, such as a lot of vehicles, we can run a service bay EVAP test on some vehicles where we actually, it will do what the computer commands to test the system, see if it holds vacuum, etc. We can do other things where we, such as testing the range of a drive-by-wire throttle items. Like, there's all kinds of things we can do as far as that goes that are bidirectional, which are very helpful these days with cars. And I mentioned the service bay test because you can get a check engine light from a loose gas cap, right? The EVAP system's not working. Well, even today's newer cars, we're doing away with the gas caps now. We have the little flappers. So when you fill your car, you don't have a gas cap on your car, right, Brendan?
No, I do have one, but I,
there's actually a gas cap still?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh. Yeah. But I will say, I rented out, it was a Lexus, because that's why I was telling you about that. I went to a wedding last week, everybody, so just heads up. And I rented out a Lexus, and it has that flap you're talking about. So it was a brand new Lexus. I can't remember on the top of my head.
My new Ford Ranger does too. Uh-huh. So you don't take the gas cap off. So it's where you put the fuel in. We're talking about, there's a little flapper door, and that's what seals whenever it closes for the EVAP system. So you never have to worry about forgetting your gas cap or anything like that.
Right, right. When I looked at it, I was like, man, I can't find that gas cap first. Yeah, but yeah. So
makes it easy.
Exactly.
Until till that seal fails and you get an evap code and you got to replace the whole filler neck.
Great. Well, I rented it, so I didn't care too much.
Well, you gave it back. It's not your problem.
It's not my worries. I stomped the accelerator so hard, you have no idea. They were like, what is this guy doing in Washington?
You flew up to Washington for a wedding?
For a wedding. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
You got married again?
No, I didn't. No, my cousin did.
Gotcha. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. It was fun.
Very cool. Yeah. I'm sure you took your wife with you, right?
Yes, of course.
I'm sure she appreciated that.
Oh, yes, yeah. Their wedding DJ had to cancel at the last second for a family emergency. Yeah, but they said, hey, Brendan, you want to do it? And I said, oh, sure. So you DJed? I DJed.
You're good at that, right?
Spinning those turntables. They didn't have turntables.
No, I doubt it. It was probably just electronic stick music, right?
Something like that, yeah.
They have a little computer they played it with?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And I just had to transition the songs and stuff. That was easy peasy.
Did you have all the typical wedding dance music and stuff?
Name me a song and I'll say yes or no, probably.
I couldn't name you a song. I'm not good at that at all.
I would say Cupid Shuffle, yes. YMCA, no. That's just
the YMCA's a wedding song?
Absolutely it is, but I think it's so corny. I hate that song.
It's kind of a goofy song. Yeah. But the people that
Macarena, I cannot stand. If anyone plays the Macarena, I'm leaving your wedding. I'm sorry. I can't do it. Sorry. All right.
Is that a typical song played at a wedding?
Oh, absolutely. Especially back in the 90s.
Been to a wedding
sure.
in forever, to be absolutely. Honest with you. It's been a long time.
Hey, I know it's kind of getting off topic, but there's some EV news recently. I don't know if you heard.
Probably, but go ahead and spit it out.
Back in March, Washington signed the bill saying by 2030, they want to sell nothing but EV cars now.
In the United States?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, specifically in Washington. Not Washington, D.C., but the state of Washington.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And now New York is just waiting on a signature now for the state of New York to do the same thing as California by 2035, sell nothing but EV cars now by 2035, the newer cars. So... it sounds like each state is now following, like we usually said, California is usually the leader in some of these new laws that'll come out, mm-hmm. and other states are going to try to follow it. And here we are with Washington and New York following our steps. So,
well, interesting as always.
Mm-hmm.
Not looking forward to driving an electric truck.
No, definitely not. Time. Heck, the new Ford Lightning just went up again another $5,000.
Oh, sure did. And I just saw somebody said, I don't know why everybody calls these EV electric vehicles. Why don't they just call them coal burners, natural gas runners?
Right,
I mean, that's where it comes from, right?
Right.
Your car could be nuclear powered, but... I don't even know if there is a nuclear... a power station in the U.S. anymore.
They just shut down one like a couple months ago, right?
They've been shutting them down like crazy mm-hmm. over the years. Like, I mean, well, so San Onofre, it's probably been over 10 years since that shut down, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, it was a great idea. It worked well. it was the cleanest energy
it
we
was
have.
Compared to what we're doing right now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, but so all these electric, which you're going to get me on this page, but all these electric vehicles, they really... That's not environmentally friendly.
We all know
I mean,
that.
I understand it's not putting out bad emissions where you're standing when you're driving it, but it had to get produced somehow, the electricity that you put in the battery, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's the other thing I was going to follow up to. New York also says that they only are going to accept zero emission vehicles mm-hmm. Starting in 2025. So that's very, very quick.
Well, we have a lot of zero vehicles.
Exactly. That's not anything shocking.
So if you ever see like PZEV on the back of a car, that's partial zero emissions vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So they won't be able to sell those.
A ZEV is a zero emissions vehicle.
Mm-hmm. ZEV.
Every car that doesn't have that designation is a partial emissions vehicle because it partially puts out emissions.
Right.
Cars actually now, like newer cars and trucks that, like, if you, as far as reading the emissions out of a vehicle, if you sniff test them, it's zeros. It puts out zeros because catalytic converters and all the systems on the car, zeros that the machine can read. Now, if you got more technically advanced machines, you'd be able to read something coming out of them, but it's a very small amount. So this push to think that you're saying, I don't know that... coal burning electric generation plant is cleaner than it is to have a vehicle that gasoline vehicle today's newer vehicles with as clean as they run.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then look again, we've always discussed this a lot of the weeks where their alternatives are still not even good enough, like solar power, wind power, to even charge these vehicles. So
yeah, no way.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Not gonna last. It can't, I don't know about all this and how they're gonna, the structure and where we're at, the grid, the infrastructure and everything, there's no way that it's going to be able to handle all these vehicles unless they do something. And imagine the undertaking of that that's going to be required. They need to start working towards it, obviously, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Time's coming slowly but surely.
Electric cars parked alongside the road.
But don't charge your car right now because we're in a brown or black zone. So, you know. You don't have time to charge it right now.
You got
to
charge it between like midnight and 2 a.m.
something like that, don't you?
Yeah. Get up and plug your car in. Don't forget. If you do forget, guess what? It's not that easy to go to a gas station. Like, you know, I get up this morning and if my truck's low on gas before I go anywhere, I just spin up to the gas station and fill her up and I'm good to go, right? Not so with your car. You could plug it in for a few minutes, get a charge on it, drive to, if you're going to like a mall or someplace, there's a charging unit, plug it in. But North County Fair Mall, they have all these chargers they put on. They're still not working. They're just there. So they don't work.
Mm.
Interesting,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
You know why?
I'm going to guess because we don't have enough power to even power
probably
those stations.
Don't. I don't know why, to be honest with you, but it's a thought.
We also added all those power stations over at the stadium too, and I'm still
trying. Do they work?
Oh, I'm still trying to figure that out if they even work in the first place. I don't know because I never. I don't own an EV, and B, I'm not going to own one anytime soon.
Not going to go buy one right now.
Yeah, no.
You just bought a new car. Why would you buy an EV?
I know, right? Yeah. So, not going to waste my money. Not going to waste my time. Not going to waste anything else besides what I well. Well, I'm still paying for my car right now, but you know, it'll get down.
Yep. It's all good. One of those things. But no, you're talking about the new stadium, though. The new
Snapdragon Stadium.
Snapdragon.
Yeah.
What's that name mean? Why?
Well, it's a affiliate of Qualcomm. It's a sister company.
It is.
Yeah. So they deal in the same realm of what Qualcomm does in terms of programming and stuff.
And obviously they spent money helping build it or something. So they got a naming.
Well, I bet mostly sponsoring it.
Yeah, just like Coors down in Chula Vista, which is now actually, then it was Sleep Train. I don't know what it is now. Oh, it's North Island Federal Credit
Union.
That's
right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that's what it is.
Yeah. And now it's not the sports arena. It's the Pechanga Arena, I think, too.
It is.
Yeah. I don't like calling it that. I still call it sports arena.
Well, the confusing thing about that is then people end up like, I knew somebody that worked up at Pechanga or where. What was it before that? It was Valley View, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was Valley View. They called it Valley View. Mm-hmm. So they worked up at Valley View and they said, people would show up all the time there for, we're here for the concert. Oh yeah. You're a long way away. You guys need to go down to San Diego to the sports arena, you know, where it is. So they'd actually,
and it confused people there.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Correct. I'm sorry. Just glanced up. They're releasing. Do you remember the lady Anna Sorkin?
No.
There was a whole Netflix series made about her. She was she lied about being an heiress in New York and got all these people to give her money, and she lived the high life like for years. She got arrested. You never saw that?
I remember it slightly, but yeah. They're making a series or a TV show?
No, they made a Netflix like movie series about it, which okay. Like a documentary.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. Has nothing to do with cars, but the girl stole money from everybody. She had all these bankers like convinced they were going to give her millions of dollars to do this project that she was trying to do with this building and stuff. So it was very interesting.
Mm. Oh, look it up.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's something Anna. I forget what it's called, but anyway, I just saw they're releasing her from jail.
Oh,
she's been in jail for quite a while, I think, for quite a few years. So. Mm. So,
well, is there like probation or something like that?
I don't
that?
Know. But in the okay. show, which is kind of funny, but in the show, that her lady writing an article about her goes to see her and she's in prison and she's like telling the Anna girl's telling the newspaper lady, like, you need to buy better clothes. You're not dressed very well to come. She's like, I'm coming to see you in prison. Like, how am I supposed to dress? It's just, this girl's reality, that girl, Anna, if you watch it, is so out there. Has nothing to do with cars, though. So we'll move back to cars. All right, folks, we're going to take our first break, our last break here, 1-888-344-1170. Give us a shout, 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, happy to talk to you about. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. It's kind of quiet today, but I think it's kind of quiet because most people that listen to Auto Talk Radio do so on a
streaming
device. Yes, mm-hmm. That's the word I was looking for. And nobody can. My dad just texted me. He's like, I've tried two computers in my phone. I can't seem to get you up there. And I said, well, we're not on the web right now. Said Brendan's flipping switches and dials and something's missing over there. It's not working. Not working out. Unfortunately. 1-888-344-1170 though. 1-888-344-1170. We're talking about things cars can possibly or possibly not diagnose themselves. I do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Batteries are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock nor sell any other battery at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason. They are the highest quality batteries out there. So if you need a battery for your vehicle, jump on westautomotivegroup.com. One of our four locations can get an Interstate installed for you. If you need a battery for any other need, check them out at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. They do have a battery for every need. There is no lie about that. So talking about vehicles and things they can diagnose themselves. So we were talking a little bit about EVAP before we got started into this too much. And things the car can diagnose. For a car can tell you when it's time for an oil change. I don't think that's really diagnosing itself. It's a light that comes on by mileage. So conventional wisdom, everyone had to change their engine oil at 3,000 miles back in the old days. The engine technologies and oil film has been improved, and the guideline now is about 5,000 miles. Miles are so old school, though. All the cool kids now have sensors that can tell how filthy the oil is. Yeah, those sensors kind of work, but I'm going to tell you now, I stick to mileage still in our recommendations. It's just a better way to take care of your vehicle. If you love your vehicle and you're going to keep your vehicle, you should probably stick to mileage on it. So anyway, good old stuff. Let's grab Tom in Mission Valley real quick. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing amazing. How about yourself?
All right. Hey, I had a Ford Focus ST, and it had the capless gas tank.
Yes, sir.
And they would give you a funnel that you could stick down in case you ran out of gas, I assume, that you could still, you know, put some gas in.
Correct,
so
yeah.
I was like, well, you could put any kind of funnel and pour something down there. And I went on their website, and I found that Ford had a gas plug, and it was a locking gas plug. So it's just like a gas cap, and I went and I bought one of those, and I kept that on my car the whole time I had that car.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, especially, you know, I mean, I don't really worry about it with my truck. I don't leave it parks in the garage all the time. So, you know, but if you were leaving your car out places or like, yeah, you're right. Somebody could stick a funnel in there and dump anything they wanted into your fuel tank. No question about it.
All right. I got a Kia Forte and it has a regular gas cap.
Oh, does it?
And you, Yeah, and it's a 21. And, I mean, until they start, you know, making it so you can't, you have to have, like, some lock on it.
Well, to be honest with you.
Not having a cap on it.
Yeah, so when you lock my truck, though, the fuel door locks. Like
well,
when I put
on this, the door didn't lock.
Oh, okay. So I was going to say, that also works well now. So I think on a lot of those cars now that have the capless gas tank filler neck, that the fuel doors may lock on them. I know on my truck it does. So
on the Focus it didn't, and when I realized they had that gas plug, I bought one and put and started using that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, safety is always better, especially like I said, if you're leaving the car out, you don't want anybody dumping. But people shouldn't dump things into other people's gas tanks anyway. That's not nice.
Oh, hell no, it's not nice.
Not unless they just want to give you some really high-grade fuel that they weren't using.
Yeah. we don't live in a nice society. That's no, just a fact.
No, not all the time we don't. You're right. No question about it. Yeah, that's unfortunate. People do some things like that. But good point. You don't want anything in your gas tank except for gas.
Yep.
For sure.
All right, thanks for your time.
Thanks for the call, Tom. Thanks for listening. You have a wonderful, safe weekend. Good point, though. Yeah, you might want to put in a locking gas cap on there if you consider having issues like that. I know we did we did a Suburban for a lady one time who was going through a messy divorce, and she said, I don't know for sure, that her ex-husband to be had put stuff in the tank. We did a fuel sample on it, and she was right. There was a ton of contamination in the fuel system on the vehicle. So they ended up pulling the tank and having the tank cleaned and put a new fuel pump and fuel filter in the system, flush out the lines. Luckily, it didn't damage the engine, because some stuff like sugar, stuff like that, is very damaging to the whole fuel system and can damage a motor if enough gets through it. So it's not a good thing. So terrible idea is to put something in somebody's gas tank. That's not cool. Don't do that ever. Back to cars and monitoring driving habits. Oil change, as far as that goes, you can squeeze a few miles out of your oil with the light if you drive different, depending on how you drive. But once again, I just do it by mileage. I want the oil to stay clean, and there's no question that by 5,000 miles, it's time, no matter what oil you use. And I use real high-quality, full synthetic oil on all my vehicles, and which we use only full synthetic at the West Automotive Group totally. And it's great stuff, but still 5,000 miles, I believe. The next one is the tire pressure monitoring system. It has come a long way. I believe we talked about this a week ago or so. The tire pressure sensors weren't the greatest back initially when they came out. But now they know tire position. They can tell you where it drops down to. They're pretty reliable as far as telling you the pressure and all that, which is a nice thing. I mean, we always talk about you should check your tire pressure regularly. Well, and when you have a newer car now with the tire pressure, you just click down to the tire pressure monitor on your screen there, and it pops up and it tells you exactly the pressure of each tire. You don't have to manually get out and do it so quick. So you can check your tire pressure weekly, daily, whatever works for you. Keep an eye on it. Those sensors do fail, but not near like they used to. So it's a great system and helps you save your tires too. No question about it. You may not know you have a low tire right away, like you get a nail in it or something like that. You're driving around, you can damage the tire if you don't have a tire pressure monitoring system. If you do, right away, and to fill up there, not to continue driving around like that, because it will damage the tire, as we talked about. So that is one of the systems that the car can actually tell on itself and help you out and make sure for sure that you get the tire all fixed up before it is flat or run on the sidewalls and destroyed. So good stuff there. Luxury cars, when you buy cars, higher end cars, they have a lot of different things. I have a good friend that bought one of the new Mercedes electric EQSs, Boy, that thing's like a electric rocket ship with all kinds of bells and whistles on it. Pretty cool car, actually, when you're talking about EVs, for sure. And it's super fast, man. The thing almost give you whiplash as fast as it moves. Amazing stuff. That car's like a robot. The closest car to a robot, I would say. It talks to you and all that. And you don't have to say Siri to it. I believe you say Mercedes to it. That's what they do. So
Hey Mercedes. Oh, sorry, I just ruined everyone. Mercedes.
Yeah exactly. And it's funny because my friend gets in it and it says hello in his name. As far as that goes, the car totally talks to him all the time. It's like you got your own butler inside the car.
It reminds me of, do you remember Total Recall?
Yeah.
They had a robot taxi driver.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it reminds me of that.
That didn't turn out so well, did it?
No. He got a complete malfunction and started speeding off. So, but that was a good movie still, and, you know.
Yeah, that thing was kind of like Kit, only not, it didn't help fight crime.
Yeah, exactly.
It created crime. Cars without fancy sensors have a low-tech way of telling you, like, brake pads need changing. There's a light that comes on some cars. A lot of cars don't even today's cars don't have sensors on the brake pads. So a lot of high-end cars, like BMWs like to do that. Mercedes, they actually have a sensor that when the sensor makes contact to the rotor, it's within a certain distance, and it's time to look at the brake pads. So, regular cars, sometimes, you know, they end up making noise before you figure out you need brake pads. If you're getting your vehicle in regularly every 5,000 miles and having a trained technician take a look at it, though, you never end up with those noises or problems. I can hear cars going through the parking lot sometimes that I know need brakes. I hear them, wheep, 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 wheep. The little indicators, that those are the non-electronic indicators that actually touch the rotor and start screeching like a baby bald eagle or something. It makes a noise as you drive. So I guess some people don't know what that noise is, but if I'm standing in a parking lot, a car drives by me, I know right away that, oh, that car needs brakes. Here's a good one. As more kinds of fuels become available, besides gasoline, entirely new systems are popping up on cars. Electric cars are pretty much a bundle of sensors, as we were just talking. Wheels, seats attached, so they beep at you. They make noises. You can talk to them. They'll tell you things. As far as that goes, when there's concerns, but they won't necessarily diagnose and tell you what's wrong. So as far as that goes, we still have all the testing and all that. And on those cars, there's even more testing electronically because you've done away with the engine, right? Of a vehicle. Everything is electronic now, plain and simple. So there is a lot of different of items. From what I understand, when a Tesla has an issue and it reports there's an issue, what Tesla does is set up a service call for you to a Tesla center, and then they order up all the parts that could possibly cause that problem, or most of them. As far as that goes, the regular parts that cause that problem, when you roll in, the tech has all these different parts for this thing, and he tests it, figures out, and then he replaced that part, and down you go, the rest goes back. Well, I always thought that's very interesting. If you did that on a gasoline event, like you order every part that could possibly be, that'd be a lot of parts. So, and it'd be a lot of parts coming and going, but obviously they only repair Teslas at Tesla Service Center, which is Tesla, so they have all these parts there, and they just pull them off the shelf, and they put them back on the shelf, apparently. So, that's the way they've been doing those vehicles. EVs that we've seen and worked on are very much the same as far as just you got to diagnose them. And there's a lot of time spent doing so with EVs or hybrids or even regular vehicles, you know. But EVs are more electronic items as far as that goes because everything's electric. Diesel. I was just reading here about diesel vehicles have filters these days, so that can tell the technology tell you when the filter needs to be cleaned, the particulate filter we call it. So there's sensors on that, and that knows it, it can tell when it's clogged, started to clog up. There's a regeneration process on most of those diesels that we run, or with the factory software, we can put them into a regeneration process that cleans up the filter. If they get too dirty, those particulate filters have to be pulled off and actually sent and baked, and they can clean them up, or they need to be replaced. Just some, if you own a diesel and you get a regen, that's what the DEF fluid now is helps, they sprays to help clean those is what it does on a regular basis. That's how they came up with that fluid. So, and never put gasoline in a DEF tank, and never put DEF fluid in a gas tank or a diesel tank, because DEF fluid destroys the fuel system. We've had a couple of vehicles towed in that way. It's a lot of work. You got to get all that out of there and quickly, because, and don't, if you ever end up putting a DEF fluid into your diesel tank where the diesel goes, don't start the vehicle. That's the best thing. Just tow it from there if you realize you did it, because starting the vehicle runs it into the fuel system, which can damage injectors and all that. I've seen Mercedes that $15,000-$17,000 to fix the fuel system on them because somebody put DEF fluid in and drove it. So it destroys the fuel system. As far as that goes. So be very cognizant about that. If you own a diesel and you add DEF fluid to the DEF tank and you accidentally get it in a diesel tank, it's a big problem. We've seen that a few times. Cars don't just diagnose dangerous things, though. Your oil change and all that is not a dangerous thing, but there's a lot of sensors to make life easier on a vehicle. So, for example, the Acura RLX, which senses humidity level in the cabin of the car. If the interior gets too damp, it turns on the air conditioning and recirculate air to prevent fog or frost from collecting on the windows. So that sensor is very helpful for climate control inside the vehicle. Also, set the temperature in that in the car, and humidity keeps the driver comfortable, which can prevent accidents and things like that. It's a good thing. The cold air that the car can put through, depending on if it gets steamy or damp or whatever. So it's a good sensor to have inside the car until it goes wrong and it doesn't read right. Then it could cause the climate control system to do all kinds of funny things. The check engine light comes on while you're driving. Your heart stops. Should you pull over right now? Is a piston flying through the hood? Usually not. The car will... obviously turn on check engine light. We always ask folks, like, they're like, can I drive it, or is it flashing? Is it, what's it doing? Because if check engine light flashing is a big problem, it means that there's a bad misfire and you're running raw fuel into the exhaust system. So that, which can damage the catalytic converter and other items. But there are a lot of items that the check engine light turns on for, as far as that will not cause the car to leave you alongside the road. So you just got to be cognizant of how your car's running too. So no, the car will not tell you all the time. Although a lot of cars now, like the gas cap thing we were talking about, if you have a vehicle with a gas cap and you leave it off, it runs the EVAP and turns on the check engine light. A lot of those cars have actually a little thing that shows the gas cap thing, and that's because it picked up an EVAP code and it wants you to check the gas cap just in case to save yourself the trouble. The good news with that is if you put the gas cap back on, and the next time the car runs self-monitor for the EVAP system, it'll turn off the check engine light. That pending code still stays in there as a previous code, but it'll turn off the check engine light because the system passed when it ran its test. So always tell folks, just put the gas cap back on if you leave it off, and it will do that. Or you can stop in, and it's easy enough to clear that out. That's one of the cool things about cars and gas caps these days, as far as that goes, a lot of them do tell you. There's more fluids in your car than just oil, transmission fluid, brake fluid, power steering fluid, more. Most of these you used to be able to check, with a dipstick, but a lot of cars now do not even have dipsticks on them whatsoever. So, it's one of those things as far as it goes. Man, the hour flew by, didn't it? Quickly, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as that goes. So we spent some time talking about cars and different things they can and can't do. But cars, technology-wise, have become extremely advanced. There's no question about it. And they can tell you a lot of things these days, usually about systems or problems or that. But there's still a lot of diagnosis that goes into them, especially when you get a difficult problem. We see cars come in sometimes, like we have a Dodge Caravan right now that the customer replaced every part that could possibly lead to this code normally. Then there are some other parts that we had to replace, and it's got rid of a couple of the codes, and it still has one. So now you can have resistance issues that cause the check engine light to come on and stuff like that. So throwing parts at a car doesn't always fix it. You know, it's good to know what we need to do and how we need to do it. So and testing properly is extremely important. So if you're having a light issue, a check engine light, anything, traction control, all that, give us a shout. Hop on westautomotivegroup.com, make an appointment, and get in. We'll get you all taken care of. Hey, San Diego and everybody else out there, truly appreciate you joining us today. Always enjoy doing Auto Talk Radio and having everybody join in. It's listen, I'm sorry that the webcast is down, but by next week, I'm sure Brendan will have it fixed, and we'll be back up and running. Keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. You've been listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1. We will definitely be back next Saturday. But enjoy the weekend. I don't know what it's supposed to be here in San Diego, but I'm sure it'll be nice. It's that time of year, right? So all good stuff. Everybody be safe. Until next week, this has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.